Blog Talk Radio.
Daylight come and me want go home.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the program. We'll be talking about what's going on in the CFL after an interview. I have a very special interview with a young player, a young Canadian player, a young French-Canadian player, in fact, that played for the Sherbrooke Vert et Or. And if I said that wrong, consider me a Frenchman trying to speak English in the heart of Quebec. So cut me some slack. Cut me a little bit of slack. So I'm looking at pictures, and you know, we all know how wonderful, truly wonderful, and there's no sarcasm here, how wonderful a league and a creator of football players that Sherbrooke is. And no, that music belonged there. You can put it back in. Thank you. I always appreciate when the engineer on this program follows my lead. And anyway, we're going to be talking to number 52 of the Montreal Alouettes, Nicolas Boulay, drafted in the fourth round, 30th overall, just this past year. So, you know, we'll talk to him about what it was like when he was drafted. Montreal, of course, finished first and hadn't played this year yet. And I assume when he got to the team, he expected more of the same. And unfortunately, the Montreal Alouettes didn't come out of the gate as quickly as many of us thought they would. We did know that there'd be an adjustment period because of the coach leaving for the Chicago Bears. But anyway, this 6 foot, 220-pound, born 1989, August 18th. That's 4 days before our anniversary. My wife's very proud of that. And this is becoming a very family thing. He's from Magog, Quebec. And, of course, as I said, he played for the Sherbrooke Vert et Or. I don't know why he didn't play for the Edmonton Eskimos. The Eskimos should have. He already had the right colors set. Anyway, Jim Pop's very high on this kid. Nicolas brings passion, toughness, and the ability to play special teams to camp. And it will be fun to watch his progress during training camp. Now, in the offseason, we'll talk to him as well about the fact that wide receiver Dave Stala, a great Canadian receiver, has come to Montreal. Now, one might suggest, because they're both kind of, you know, they're going to be kind of in competition, there's a lot to be learned as a receiver from an experienced linebacker, and I believe the opposite is true as well. Dave Stala could give some insight to this young man on how to be a better linebacker. Also, I want to ask him, what's up with Simon Laguerre? You know, there's two pictures up there on the Alouettes face page there, and Laguerre looks so serious in one. I swear to God, it looked like he could rip somebody's throat out. He looks, you know. And maybe we'll talk to him about what it was like playing on the same team as William Dion, place kicker for the Alouettes in waiting, if you will. Now, as I said, he was drafted 30th overall in 2013. He signed on May 13th, 2013. And he played 4 years with the University of Sherbrooke. He was named the team's Defensive Player of the Year, following a remarkable season in which his 58.5 tackles ranked him fourth in the Quebec Conference and sixth in the country. Boulay recorded two quarterback sacks in his nine games he played in 2012 and was voted defensive captain that year. So he's a leader as well. Now, you know, we haven't gotten to the most important stat that my daughters pointed out to me, because I have them here on a screen that I put up. For those that aren't aware of Sherbrooke, it is a school that disappeared for a few years. It came back in 2003. Of course, the first program was dropped in 1973, and then they began playing in 1971 in the Quebec University's Athletic Association, but only played for three seasons. The program was dropped after 1973 due to a shift in philosophy, as many Francophone universities played an emphasis on community involvement, intramural athletic activities, as opposed to intercollegiate athletics. That philosophy has shifted back to intercollegiate sports at the Université Laval, University de Montréal, Sherbrooke each began programs in 96, 2002, and 2003, respectively. Now, all of you understand and know, that follow this program, know how highly we rank Quebec football. It is actually the leader in the country as far as producing players. And I'm not just saying that because of Nicholas being here. We've had this conversation before. There are a lot of strongholds in football, but it seemed that in the case of football in Quebec, it almost seemed as though the Quebec Nordiques, when they left, that love of that team was sucked up by the love of football. And it shouldn't surprise me. I mean, it is a Canadian game. It is a game that we all enjoy watching. And for some of us, we get the opportunity to play at the highest level in the country. And joining me now is Nicholas Boulay, linebacker, as I said, number 52 for the Montreal Alouettes. Nicholas, a pleasure to have you on.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be here.
All right, Nicholas, we're going to talk, if you don't mind, you know, we really love the game of football on this show. And I have right now, and I'll introduce you to him. He's Mike Townsend. He's from Michigan. He's an American football fan, a Canadian Football League fan. He loves the game, and I'm sure he's excited to meet a young man such as yourself, Nicholas Boulay, of the Montreal Alouettes. Say hello, Mike Townsend.
Hey, what's going on,
Mike Townsend? How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, man. How about yourself, brother?
I'm doing very good. Very good, sir.
That's good. That's good. Glad you're on the show, man.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Truly is also on the show tonight. He just called in. These guys all surprise me, Nicholas. I don't know who's going to show up from day to day. But these two guys are pretty much regular, as well as John Granger. And this young man, his name is Christopher Jones. And if you ever want any good wine, hook up with him. He might be able to fix you up really good. And he is a BC Lions fan in Vancouver. Say hello, Christopher Jones.
Hello, Christopher Jones.
Jones, how are you doing?
Hello, Christopher Jones. He's a comedian as well, Nicholas.
I'm doing wonderful, right, guys. How are you? How's everybody tonight? Everything's rock and roll.
Everything.
Yep. Hey, Chris.
Twice a week we talk Canadian Football League, and tonight we're fortunate to have a Canadian Football League player whose future, for the most part, if not all of his future, is in front of him. So, you know, he hasn't had too much time to forget where he came from, and I don't just mean about Quebec. Let's start, if you mind, guys. Let's talk to him about how he began playing football, and if any questions come up, just interject. Nicholas, we're intentionally rude here. We talk over each other. We don't have any respect for each other. So I hope you can play along and enjoy the let's just say informal approach that we have on this program. And I promise you one thing: if they're rude to you, I'll turn off their phones. But they won't. I haven't had to do it yet, and I won't have to do it, I hope, in the future. So first of all, Nicholas.
Okay,
first of all, Nicholas, I said something, whether it made sense or not. It seems to me from my conversations with other players such as yourself, younger, older, that it seemed almost that football in Quebec hit an upswing as soon as the Nordiques left Quebec. Is there any truth to that in your mind from your perspective?
Yeah, sure, I think so. I mean, I actually think in the Quebec area, football is growing, faster than I think hockey is, honestly. And, I would talk about that. You know, it's actually a sport that's cheaper for a growing family, right? You know, you don't have the equipment to change every year like in hockey. You know, you have to buy a pair of cleats and football is after class. So people, you know, parents can finish working and pick up their kids after school, and games are on the weekends, right? So I think families are starting more and more to go towards that sport, right? It's less complicated for them.
I'm inclined to agree with you, and I think you guys are a little bit ahead of us, west of you, in some places, where Quebecers seem to have really, you know, embraced the game very quickly, because we're only talking about a couple of decades, right? If that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
So, what?
No, it's a great sport. Sorry. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. It's a great sport. Continue.
Yeah, I was just gonna say it's a great sport, and I'm very happy to see it grow this fast. You know, having an extra team in the league for next year, and talking about a new one here coming maybe 2017 is just great news. You know, it's looking healthy, a healthy league. So,
is that what you're hearing over there, that there'll be a team in Quebec City in 2017? Is that what the rumor is?
The rumor is either Quebec City, Moncton, but they're trying to get a 10th team in the league for sure. But yeah. Who knows where, right?
No. That's what we thought. I thought maybe I was getting a news breaking flash here from an insider in Quebec. Scoop, yeah, exactly, my man.
No. Well, we're all having our cross fingers and hoping that we do get another team here in Quebec. That'd be great, but you never know. We don't make the rules; we just play.
Yeah, but from what I
we can get that team in Detroit, Michigan, man. You know that 10th team coming to Detroit.
That could be 11. That'll be 11.
Well, yeah, 11.
That'd be great. 11 teams, more jobs.
No, you see, then what happens is if a team goes in Detroit, then it wouldn't be Quebec or Moncton. It would be both.
It would be both.
Right.
Just Windsor would have to play in the Western Division. That's all.
Yeah, there you go.
But that's fine, right? We got some people here, Nicholas,
yeah, absolutely.
Who think about also expanding into Alaska. You know, the Canadian Football League, as you are well aware, it's becoming more and more popular. And as a young player, when you started out, why football? I mean, it's obvious. The obvious question is why not hockey? But you explained already the reasoning. Aside from the cost for your family, any other reason why you decided to play football?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, there's a very good reason. Well, first of all, my dad was a football player back in the days. He played for College Notre Dame in Montreal, and he actually played in Sherbrooke back in his college days in the 70s when they had a team. And the reason why I guess I didn't play hockey was when I was 13 years old, we moved to South Carolina, and that's where I played all my high school years and also, you know, middle school. That's where I started playing football. So South Carolina is as you would know, is a big, big, big football state. So I got into it there, and I got a Division II scholarship to Newberry College, and played there for a year before, the whole family decided to move back, and I decided to tag along, and I went on to play for Sherbrooke.
Yeah, in fact, I remember having a conversation with a young player who hadn't been drafted yet, and he also followed the exact same path as you. And in fact, that guy was you. You didn't have a team when we first talked.
Right. Well, I think it has to be one step at a time, right? You know, it's a tough process, and not everybody gets a shot. I was lucky enough to get a shot and actually get, if you want to say the love from the coaches that, gave me some playing time and, gave me a chance to prove myself, because it's not everybody that gets that chance. And I made the most of it. So I'm here today because of that.
Yeah, you had a different road to go to the CFL. You ended up in the States and then came up here, and you had a great opportunity. We talked about this before, where you had the opportunity to see the difference in the football lifestyle in the U.S. as opposed to the football lifestyle in Canada. So as a young player, it must have been a little bit of a culture shock, yes? No?
Absolutely. You want me to tell you guys what's the first thing that really shocked me when I came up here was all the coaches here had us call them by their first name. And, I've always been used to, like, coach this and coach that. So that was probably the biggest shock when I got up here.
The informal nature?
Absolutely. If you go back and watch my interview over here with Mr. Pop, with the Montreal Alouettes during the E-Camp, I'm always saying sir and yes sir, and so I guess that's just kind of the Southern gentleman pride that I grew up in.
I was about to say, Nicholas, being from the South, you already know, is yes sir or no sir, or are you getting popped in your mouth?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what part of South Carolina you grew up in?
No, it was actually the Hilton Head area. We're up there for 7 years, and we actually moved there for my parents' retirement. So it was a blast. You know, it was a great place to be growing up. You know, I was a beach boy. I was a football player, soccer player. I pretty much played every sport that could be.
In other words, it's, and to be specific, it's just north of Myrtle Beach.
It's actually down south. It's very close to Georgia.
We're about
45 minutes away from Savannah, Georgia. I don't know if you know the area.
Oh, yeah, in between Myrtle Beach and Georgia. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful place. My parents, my mother and all my family live in Columbia, South Carolina, so I know about Hilton Head.
Right,
oh,
so
yeah.
You probably know of Newberry, too. It's a smaller town, but it's pretty close to Columbia.
Yes, sir.
That's where you went to high school.
Great football program. They actually...
Yeah.
So I got a question for you, Nick. Coming from the States, and you went to you played football in the States, and then you went over to Canada and played in college in Canada. How was the transition there? Was it hard for you to make that transition, or just being a pure athlete, the transition was real easy for you?
It was tough, actually. The first year, I played 4 years at the Varior, but I actually spent a year also for the Rougeor in Laval. So I actually had a tough transition year. I didn't get much of a shot, and I didn't get to prove myself. Like I said, I got at the Montreal Alouettes, and I actually was in that bind at one point where I decided, well, do I retire from football, or do I, you know, give it another shot somewhere else? And because I believed in myself, I knew what I could do. I never got my shot over there. So, you know, not bashing the Rougeor for anything, but you know, I got my shot in Sherbrooke, and I made the most of it, like I said.
Okay. You always got to make the most of it, man. That's the best way to do it.
Absolutely. It doesn't last forever, so enjoy while we can.
There you go.
Yeah, no
there
kidding.
Go.
No kidding. Now you're playing college football in Canada. You basically learned the football game in the U.S. We've discussed the transition was more of a relationship thing as opposed to your ability and how you were prepared physically to play the game in Canada as opposed to the U.S. What were the physical differences in your mind?
Well, coming up here, you know, I didn't realize how much of a passing game it was really compared to down south, right? So, you know, we're all thinking about, you know, being big and, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, all you really need in this league is to, you know, to move well, right, to be able to cover as much field as you can and, you know, doing all that in the most athletic way. So that's I think that was the biggest transition, honestly. So, but I learned that pretty quickly.
So your team began its from 2003, its return was not a real strong organization at the time, but you had the good fortune of playing for them. You made a semifinal. You played at a pretty high level. How much did the level of play in Quebec help you in preparation for training camp with the Montreal Alouettes this past year?
Well, I mean, like I said, it's a different league from down south, right? So we need. It's just different strategy, the way you think of things, I mean, the football part stays the same, right? It's about everybody doing their job on the field and you know, working together and stuff. But you know, I think if I wouldn't have done that, I definitely probably wouldn't have probably performed as well during camp. But at the same time, you know, you never know. Everybody chooses their own path, and I can't say if I would go back, if I would do it differently, right, because I'm here right now and I made it. So, I mean, I can't ever, you know, say I made a wrong choice, a good choice, a bad choice, or whatever. I'm completely happy what I did, and, I wouldn't take it back any day.
I wouldn't ask you to. When you showed up, what about the drills in that? How I know that everybody talks about when you play in the pros, you know, the speed and the strength, you know, rises quite a bit. Was it something that you found difficult to deal with at first? And if it was, how quick did you adjust to it?
Well, to tell you the truth, the physical part, I think I did a pretty good job dealing with. You know, I've always been a hard hitter, so coming in this league, you know, it's kind of just doing the same thing. But the speed was a big difference, and I think that's what I'm – you know, that's actually what I'm working on this offseason. I'm running with Eric Delorier, you know, also from the Montreal Alouettes receiver. So, you know, we're both prepping for another big season. That's definitely what I need to work on this year, you know. Back in college, I was pretty much one of the fastest guys on the field, you know, really running from sideline to sideline and chasing down people from behind and stuff. And when I came up here playing on the special team, sometimes I would be one step behind. So that was one really big thing I needed to work on this year. And so I'm going to make sure I come to camp next year and to into the season with a brand new attitude and a, you know, different speed and different way of viewing things, right? It's not going to be unknown anymore to me, right? I know what to expect. I know what, you know, there's still a lot to be learned, but I know at least what to expect for the year to come.
And of course, the preparation that's involved.
Absolutely.
Now, Jim Popp said about you, Nicholas brings passion, toughness, and the ability to play special teams to camp. And it will be fun to watch his progress during training camp. Were you happy with the progress that you made?
I was very happy, actually. And like I said, I was given a chance to prove myself on, as much on defense as on special teams. You know, a little bit of injuries during camp, nothing bad. You know, I think I might have missed one day or so of practice. You know, from pulled hammy, but came back and finished camp, and actually didn't get hurt for the rest of the year. So I played every game for the rest of the year after that. So I was pretty happy with my development. Definitely made me tougher.
I got to say this because my daughters won't let me get away with not saying it. I have four daughters, and a couple of them were in here, and they said to me they saw your picture on the TV, and they said, which one is he? And I said, he's the 6 foot one. And they thought I was talking about Laguerre. And
oh,
I
is
said,
that right?
No. The 6 foot one is the short guy. Laguerre's a pretty big guy.
Yeah,
I do look
tiny next to him, don't I?
who I'd hate to think what I'd look like next to him. I'd look like a rodent. You know, yeah, he's a big fella, that's for sure. He is a big fella. And the next picture, though, is a better picture. The second picture, he's smiling. The other one looks like he's going to bite the quarterback's head off.
No, but he's really a great guy, though. He does love the game also. You know, he's actually he's been unlucky with injuries in his college years, but he's definitely a, you know, a hard worker, and he's got great football talent. I really do hope he gets another shot with the Owls because they really liked him. He had raw talent. This guy is going to be he's definitely going to be a great player in the CFL if he gets a shot.
Well, let's remember, he's at the beginning of his career as you are. And so, you know, there's lots of time to develop. Now, the development in the CFL is pretty expected. The players know that, you know, for the most part, the young talented players that get drafted high or near high, they end up playing special teams. Tell us how the progress in your mind, why special teams is going to be so important to you, and you being a player who's very experienced in that portion of the game.
Oh, I mean, you know, even when I got to college up in Canada, they always told me, you know, you're going to make your spot by playing on the special teams. And, you know, you do good there, and then you'll get a shot on defense, and then you get your chance to get a starting spot. So, I mean, I think I remember that from my coach, and I always will remember that because that's probably the best piece of advice he could give me. Because I'm up here doing the same thing right now, so I'm trying to ball out as much as I can. on those special teams right now, trying to get my shot on defense. I got a couple of snaps this year, but it wasn't anything like crazy. But I mean, I'm definitely striving to get a starting spot eventually. And I mean, who isn't, right? If I wasn't thinking like that, then I probably wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that attitude of, you know, always getting better and trying to make my own spot.
Now, as a Quebecer with Quebec roots, being drafted by Montreal must have been a wonderful thing, not just for you, but for your parents as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like I said, all of my family is actually from Montreal, so that's kind of cool. And I mean, I used to watch the Montreal Alouettes as a kid. We used to come to the game with my dad and stuff. So I mean, it's always been like in the family roots. But definitely being up here, I actually used to watch Anthony Calvillo play football. So that's kind of crazy. I got a chance to play with him this year.
Yeah, that must have been a lot of fun.
Oh, I mean, you learn so much from that guy so quickly because he's such a good quarterback. He's such a smart guy. And the most humble guy also. You know, he's been in the league for years. And, you know, even me, a little rookie coming in, you know, he used to talk to me and say, how's it going, and help me out with my game whenever I asked him for help. And he's just a great, great guy.
But that's the point, you know, that came to my mind. I was thinking of we talk a lot about what's going on in the CFL from almost a day-to-day basis. And one of the big surprises for us, the group, was that Dave Stala was released by the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And within 24 hours, he was picked up by Montreal. I guess he's another guy that you can pick his brain for information on being a better linebacker. I mean, who better to teach a linebacker how to play defense than a great receiver like that?
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, any guy that can have that many years of experience in the league can teach me a lot. And I mean, I'm very open to teaching from others, right? I'm a very teachable person, and I listen, I take notes, and I try to correct my game as much as I can. So definitely, I'm definitely be able to pick his brain a little bit and ask him if he doesn't mind. But definitely.
I have heard a lot of great things about Dave Stala. A lot of his fans in Hamilton, while they were disappointed that he left, they were very proud of the fact that he was a member of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And you'll be working with a class act, and for that, yes, you can be grateful. And I'm sure he'll be, you know, very helpful in helping make your career better, quicker, faster, and maybe even stronger. So, you know, that's a good thing. And we love the game here so much, we can't help but talk about the CFL. And we're really glad that you decided to play in the CFL, because you could have if you stayed. Do you think you could have made, could you have played college football in the U.S., or did you come to Canada just strictly as a plan and that was it? Or was it an option B thing for you, if you don't mind my asking?
No problem. I was getting a good experience in Newberry College. I think I was learning. I was actually getting the respect from my coaches fairly quickly. I was on the practice squad. I never got to play, but I definitely gave a good performance, and I was actually open to play in the years to come after that. But to follow up on your question, I don't think I could have ever played in the NFL. Well, you know, it's everybody's dream, right? But I think my size, my speed, and this and that, my type of game is more of a CFL Canadian game, right? Three downs, cover some field, run around, and hit people. That's what I love to do, and I'm glad I got to do that.
And what a tough break. You're Canadian too.
Right, exactly.
What a tough break. You're Canadian too. Yeah, no, that, hey, listen, we have nothing but the utmost respect for the Canadian Football League and our American friends that follow on the program, and even ones that are in Africa and Hawaii and Alaska. All these people love the Canadian Football League in spite of the fact that they don't live in Canada. So there's something to be said about the Canadian game. So I don't want anybody to be listening right now and sound like it's apologetic that, you know, well, you know, thank goodness the CFL's here or guys like Nicholas Boulay wouldn't have anywhere to play. It isn't like that. It's about, like you described perfectly, it's a different type of game. Three downs, yep, you know. But really, it's a different game. There's a it's a whole different different game that now even the Americans are finding it again and finding their way back to watching CFL. So you know, NBC, ESPN, all those stations are interested in purchasing football time. So you and the CFL Players Association have some leverage on the league maybe in the near future. It's a growing game.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think what kind of what people don't realize also is the special teams make it fun, exactly. You know, and it's actually such a big part of the game. It's actually a third of the game in this league, and it can make a whole difference in the game, a good kicker or a bad kicker. So, I mean, it does in NFL too, but I think it has a bigger impact here in this league. So I think that's what I do love about the game. You know, it's never over until it's over.
Oh, hey, and nothing impacts more on special teams than the fair catch. You know, that takes away a lot of the
exactly
importance of special teams. So, you know, it's about
we exactly the league, for sure.
The league says we want you to return the ball. That's why you get the 5 yards. You don't get the 5 yards because you're a chicken. You know, it's because we want you to run with the ball. Because some of the best plays, some of the best hits. Some of the, well, all one has to do is watch replays of football games. And, you know, special teams always enter into the package. They're never left out. You know, it is part of the offense. It is really not offense, not defense. It's both at the same time, you know, just like offense and defense. So it's built up very well.
It's massively important in this game.
There you go. This is Christopher Jones. Finally, you decided to say something. I thought you fell asleep in your phone.
No, I got it on mute, and I'm filling my face over here, okay? So I didn't want to hear me munching away. But, yeah, I've got some questions for Nicholas.
Go for it, buddy.
Congrats on getting into the CFL as a Canadian linebacker. That's actually quite rare. It's coincidental that Montreal Alouettes already have two Canadian linebackers, Shea Emery and Mike Edom, and two good ones, I might add. But keep watching game film on all of the guys out there, especially guys that chew up the field really well, like Solomon Aluminium and Adam Big Hill. Yes, I'm a BC Lions fan, but those guys are two of the best in the league, so make sure you watch them. Chip Cox, you can learn a zillions from that man. Now, my question is Jim Popp. He has been a coach in the Alouettes twice prior to this season, last season, and both times he was absolutely miserable at it. I do not want you to get in trouble here by saying this, but how is he for a coach? Because it doesn't look like you're going to get anybody else. It looks like he's going to be the coach.
I mean, I think he's a good speaker. He lets us know what we need to do to win. But I mean, I think it starts with a great offensive coordinator, right? They make the call in the game, and of course, Mr. Pop always has the last word. But when it came down to game time, and you know, if it's whether time to kick or time to go for two, or if it's time to, you know, to take the ball or whatever, I think he makes good calls, right? So, but for the rest of the game, I think it all comes down to having a great offensive coordinator. And I think we'll be pretty set for next year. We don't know who it is yet, but you know we'll probably find out very soon.
I'll frame the question. I'll frame more or less. It won't be a question. It'll be more like a comment. But there is a question there, but it's a real simple one. Last year, when you were drafted, you knew you were joining a team that just won the division, lost in the Eastern Final. So it's fair to say they were a pretty, you know, good team, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right, and then because I think I know what you know. To be fair to Jim Popp and to be fair to anyone, the season started it must have been a nightmare to see what was going on, knowing what kind of recent history the Montreal Alouettes had, without naming any names and without putting anyone down, Nicholas. Just the fact that the team wasn't playing well, it had to catch you by surprise a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, being with the guys and hearing what the guys were saying about everything going on in the team, it was kind of sad to say, but at the same time, it is true that, you know, the players make up the team, right? And you know, when players don't believe in a coaching system or, you know, changing the way – you can't change the way they do things, right? You have a guy like Anthony Calvillo who's been with Montreal for many, many years, and, you know, you're trying to change the whole routine of practice, the whole routine of meetings, the whole routine of his routine, right? And Scott Flory and all these guys – you know, veterans have been in the league for so many years, and these guys just, you know, they're used to winning. These guys are winners, right? They know how to win, and, you know, they wanted to take this team to victory, but sometimes, you know, the way things worked out, you know, it just wasn't working out with them.
It wasn't the problem from a perspective of a fan, from one who has no understanding of what's going on in the dressing room, from somebody who considers himself slightly knowledgeable about the game and does care about the game as a fan does. From the outside, it looked like there was just too much change all happening at once. There wasn't a progression into a new system. It was cold and quick and too immediate. And it almost seemed like the guys were not, even if they were happy with the way things needed to be done, even if they could handle the change, It just made a sharper learning curve, and maybe that was the biggest problem you guys had at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I think, you know, people are usually not real big on changing a recipe, you know, winning recipe. So, I mean, of course, I think they were a bit redundant to change. So I think... it was definitely tough on the team. It was tough, and, you know, people, you know, you got to agree with your coach, and you got to go along with what he says, right? That's what I've been learned, if I learned anything down south. But, you know, sometimes, it doesn't work out, and you just, you know, you have to go with what it is right now and, you know, follow the leaders that are on the team and try to make the most of it. That's what we try to do this year. And it didn't turn out the way we wanted to, but, you know, the beauty is that we get another year to do it.
I think let's be fair to your team, not just because you're here, because I truly believe this. The way the season started, Jim Popp came in, and he took a team that really lost its confidence, you know, didn't believe it. You don't have to say this because we could see it from the outside. You could see the unhappiness in your quarterback, Calvillo, who's a future Hall of Famer. He didn't look happy out there. He wasn't smiling. We could see this on the outside. This is nothing you're telling me. This is stuff that I could observe as a fan. And the team didn't look, it looked in disarray. And the one thing that we all knew is that there wasn't really a giant turnover in talent. So, you know, how could the Owls go from number one, lose the Eastern Final to the Argonauts, the dreaded Argonauts, but still finish first and then start the season the way they did? Jim Popp comes in and tell us a little bit of how he turned things around, because he truly did. You guys were making a steady improvement from the time he came in. What did he do? Did he reset the dial?
I mean, I think he just he really adopted a strategy of just, you know, like letting the guys play and letting the guys run things the way they're used to running things, right? So it gave them freedom to kind of do what they wanted to do, because, like I said, those guys know how to win. But if you look at offensive statistics, you look at those and you can tell that you can't win football games no matter how good your defense is. And we had the number one defense in the league, but, you know, sometimes you still got to put up points, you know. So, I mean, it can be tough, but, I mean, you do with what you have. But Jim Popp did a good job, really changing the mindset that we had in the beginning of the season and during summer camp to bringing it back to what it was so the guys can be happy and play and have fun.
I'm not asking you to comment on this, but I just want you to know again as a fan. There are many of us, and I'm an Argo fan, just so, as you know from our previous conversations. I am an Argo fan, but I love the CFL just as much, and I love CFL games. Your team, after the start that you had, and when Jim Popp came into the game, and he made adjustments, which I think were basically going back to, this is what I believe. I believe a coach has to be smart enough to use his players to the best of their ability. Rather than place a plan and have the players adjust to his plan, he has to know what kind of players he has and have them have a plan that works the best with them. And I think that was the difference. That was the two solitudes, if I can use a Canadian term, of the beginning of the season for the Montreal Alouettes and the second part of the season with Jim Popp running things. And I believe, truthfully, and this is an Argo fan, and my Hamilton fans, friends who aren't here right now, I got to check to see if they want me to call them or not, but if it wasn't for a blown call by the CFL, you guys could have been in the Grey Cup. So you weren't that bad a team. You did pretty well. I don't think you should be disheartened too much with what you guys did.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You can look at it that way. I mean, but, you know, we're paid to play the game, and coaches, players, and refs will make mistakes, and I think you can't
it's not an excuse.
Everybody makes mistakes. So
yeah, no, this wasn't meant to be a don't look at it as a criticism of the official, but you sound almost not too sure that you guys had a great year. I think you guys had a great year. I think the Montreal Alouettes had a wonderful year, except they ran out of time to be prepared for the biggest games. That's all. You had a shorter season than the other teams did, if you know what I mean. Even Hamilton itself made a lot of progress, but they started their progress at the beginning of the year where you guys came in at about the sixth game, and it seemed like the Argos were just struggling to maintain their number one status. And they had a lot of difficulty because of the good teams that were in the East that were underestimated. And yours was one, as was Hamilton's. How interesting a season is it for you when you go across the country and you go to places like Hamilton and play against them? What do you think of the crowds there and the Hamilton fans?
Oh, it's great. I mean, Hamilton, every fan in this league is amazing. You know, we've been to every stadium this year. And we got to play in every stadium, and it's just nuts. I love it. It's awesome. And you actually said something that struck me earlier. You're right. You know, that's, I think, one of the biggest differences between college and here is the number of games, right? It's so important to peak at the right time. And you can also look this year how many injuries we had as a team. I think it's a record in Alouette's history to have this many injured players. So, I mean, that was probably one of the other toughest aspects of our year. So, we definitely had a lot of challenges. I think we worked through them and we worked hard through them. And, we tried to make the most of it. We came up short a little bit.
Yeah, but you know what? It's just another year where all of you can't win. You can only have one team win the Grey Cup. And trust me when I say this, and I say this with total honesty and sincerity, I don't think there's a person in this room would rather have Montreal win the Grey Cup than Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
Well... I was pretty happy for Saskatchewan too. You know, they were in their hometown and stuff. So it's money wise for the city, it's a great thing, right? It brings a lot of people in, and I think it's a great thing. And I'm happy for them. It doesn't happen to everybody to get to win a Grey Cup on their home turf. But, like you said, only one team has it comes out on top at the end of the year. Nobody remembers the second.
No, nobody does. And let me say this seriously, though. I love Saskatchewan fans. I'm just having fun with them because there's too many of them. We got to put another team in Saskatchewan. They just have too many fans, which is good for them.
It's huge over there. And Oh yeah, it's awesome.
How did you like playing
the Green Wave? It's crazy.
How did you like Saskatchewan?
Oh, I love playing on that field. All the it was so loud. Everybody was screaming, and it was green everywhere. And you know, you really feel like you get into the game, and you can feel the fans getting nervous. You can feel them getting happy, getting mad, and all that stuff. So I think it's crazy. It going over there. It was probably the biggest crowd I've ever played in front of. So I mean, it is the greatest
football market in Canada. There's no doubt about it. You know, I as an Argo fan would wish that our team was followed to the same degree that the Saskatchewan Roughriders are. They should be proud of what they've accomplished as a team. The fans should be proud of their team, and they should be proud of themselves for, you know, how wonderful a participation they had in the Grey Cup, and as they do, at least in recent memory, each and every year. Now, that doesn't mean they're better fans as individuals than any of the other teams, but one has to applaud the attraction that the Saskatchewan Roughriders are, and also they supply us with a wonderful demon for us to slay.
Yeah, for sure. And they also, they're also very resistant to cold, eh? they do like that cold up there.
Wow. And coming from South Carolina, I can imagine how the cold would be considered bitter. But, you know, Christopher Jones will tell you, it's a dry cold. It doesn't hurt. It's okay.
Yeah, it's dry. Quit being a wuss.
Yeah.
Nicholas,
it can be dry, -30s freezing.
Now, Nicholas, we go on for 2 hours. I'm not going to ask you to stick around unless you feel you have the time and you'd like to. And because you're a player, I want you to feel comfortable being on the air and the subject matter that we discussed. And I will advise you that these guys are bitterly honest sometimes.
Well, that's okay. I think it's the best way to be.
Okay, good. Now, I've got another fella. He's a Hamilton Tiger Cat fan who is on the phone right now. His name is Bruce John Inch. He's known as the 13th man. If you saw him, you'd probably recognize him because he's in everybody's face when it comes to CFL football in Hamilton. Bruce, say hello to Nicholas Boulay, number 52 of the Montreal Alouettes.
How you doing, buddy? Alouette, Johnny Alouette. Not bad, man. Not bad. I gotta love the theme song that we play for you guys on the way out the field. Alouette, Janti Alouette. And I wish you nothing but the best of luck coming into the new Tim Hortons field to come 2014, buddy.
And win too.
Oh,
are you
very excited
you
about that?
Yeah, it's gonna be a good atmosphere this year, man. You guys, we're gonna rock the house every time, no matter who we're playing.
That's good. So, I really hope so. That's very awesome. You know, that's just another sign, again, that the league is healthy and financially, and I'm very stoked to be part of this and get to play on that field and go back to Hamilton and play another year with that Montreal Alouettes.
Yeah, for sure. I have a question for you while I got you on. Well, Frank's got you on. Now, I've asked other players this, and I want your total honest opinion. When we chirp you guys coming off the field or going on the field or when we're behind your bench,
yes, sir.
Does some of that actually work, or does that just I know it has to entice you both ways, to do better and to not do better. But do we sometimes
get in
your head?
Are you affected by it?
I know my buddy Claudio. You got to know Claudio. Whenever you guys used to go into the old Ivor Wynn dressing rooms, you'd always see him standing up there on the end zone with a big sign for one of you guys.
Don't forget, he's a rookie.
Right.
He's a rookie. Doesn't
matter. He would have saw if he went to Ivor Wynn this year.
Yep. Well, I'm
not the kind of guy who really gets annoyed by things like that, but I can tell you that there are some people on the team who can get upset or mad, and they can affect their game, but I'm not one of those persons. I just kind of laugh and play along, you know. So.
Oh, that's good, because I know we get Orlando Bruce going quite a bit now since he went to Montreal. But one thing we'll never do, buddy, we'll never give Dave Stella a cold shoulder when it comes to Hamilton. You got a hell of a player coming towards you, man. You gotta look after
Absolutely.
My boy Dave.
For sure. Yeah. Sounds good.
Now, So Hamilton, would you say that on that subject, is there a city in particular where the fans are vocally more effective than others?
To tell you the truth, Hamilton was pretty good. You know, whether if it was in Hamilton, in Guelph, or in Moncton, they're pretty loud, and they were actually. I was actually surprised to see that many fans in Moncton when we had a game up there.
We made the trip up there, buddy. We made the trip to Moncton, us and about five other people. 1,600 kilometers, man, to go root for Ticats, and we pulled it off.
See, that's what I love about this league. You wouldn't see that anywhere else in the world.
No, and you know what, man? We all got along with you guys also too, because we went up to we were staying at the one hotel with the Ticats, and you guys were staying up the street in the other hotel. And I gotta hand it to your team. You guys did an outstanding job on promoting that game, sticking behind your fans, and even mingling with the fans when you were walking down the street. You know, you guys are a class act.
Uh-oh.
Thank you very much. Frank. Very nice come from you.
It's very nice.
I'm being truthful, man.
Nicholas, you know what he's saying? You got to hear the code. You know, you got to hear the code. And the code
I'm not very big into sarcasm. No.
He's not being sarcastic.
No, not one bit.
He's being sincere, but the part he's leaving out is he's very disappointed in the way the Hamilton Tiger Cats didn't do the kind of job you guys did.
Well, I'll say that. We went to our hotel, and we had nothing. We had no welcoming signs, no welcome Ticat signs, nothing. We went into your lobby, man. You guys had it all decked out. You guys did one hell of a job, man. And I even posted that on the Hamilton Ticat site. So they know the way I feel, too. But I never got an answer back from our team why they didn't do anything. But you guys did an upstanding job, man, and you guys did Moncton proud.
Now, that what he just said right now, what I drew out, wasn't a criticism of Hamilton. It was a suggestion. You know, as fans, you know, for us, it's not just about the game on the field. It's the atmosphere created around the stands, outside the stands, before the game. You know, I'm sure, Nicholas, you know what I'm talking about because, you know, as a football player for so long, I don't think there's a sport more than football that celebrates the game outside as much as they do, outside of the stadium itself as well as inside.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you know, whether it's tailgates or after game parties or whatever, I think, yeah, definitely. I think you said it right.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not a big deal. It wasn't meant as an insult, just a suggestion. I make suggestions like that for the Argos all the time. You know.
It does a lot of good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does no good. I mean, I'm sorry, it does little good. Ah, hell, it does no good. This is what happens when you get a room full of CFL fans, Nicholas. We love the game so much, we're willing to improve it.
Go ahead, sorry.
I said we all have a philosophy on how to improve this game. Not all of it's the same.
Yeah, and we all share it. And we all share, that's what this show is all about. That's what this program's all about, Nicholas. It's a national perspective on the game, not a regional one. You know, every team, or some teams actually, not even every team, some teams have places where fans outside of Facebook and Twitter, you know, the old style like this, talking about the game and reacting in real time to comments from other people. This program, you know, thanks to these guys that you're on and John Granger isn't here, one of the first guys. Our intention has always been to talk about the game on a national basis. And just a day or two ago, the reason I asked you to be on the program is because Christopher was complaining because he said, we got to get a Montreal fan. You know, we don't have a Montreal fan calling in. Well, so if you know any, Nicholas, you know, we want to know what the experience of being a fan of a CFL team someplace else, because we don't get that flavor, we don't get that much, and we believe it does a lot in promoting the game. And I'm going now on, this is, as you know, I interviewed you last year, so, you know, this is my second year doing this, and I've got, it's getting stronger because of the people I have coming in it. Now, you talk about how great the CFL is, and we believe you. We all believe you. But as Chris said, there are things that, you know, we wish the CFL could do better. And there's a lot of ways the game could grow. One of the most important things, and I'm not looking from a comment from you, you know, the CFLPA is now going to be negotiating a contract with the CFL. From your perspective as a player, you have leaders that take care of that. And, you know, without commenting any deeper than you feel comfortable, how much is that on your mind as a new player, the new contract?
I mean, it is a little bit. I think it's in everybody's mind, right? Because, you know, we do play a lot of games, and, you know, we do put our jobs could be gone, you know, from one day to the other, you know, from an injury or whatever, right? Because our contracts, you know, aren't very solid. But I mean, having a pay raise, that definitely would be a great thing, I think, for everybody, you know, financially. You know, I think, you know, I don't think, honestly, money is a motivator to any part of the work, if it's work, football, if it's in a business or anything. But, you know, I do think that you know, it helps. It's not a motivator, but, you know, it makes you smile.
Are you aware that there's two schools of thought, you know, like look at it this way, as different ingredients for a solution or an agreement? There are some that suggest just give whatever extra money appears to give it to the players that are there now. Some suggest that that adding another player would be good. From your perspective as a player and a young player, and, you know, this is not, you know, it's not a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal answering this question. How would you go if you were asked? An extra contract or expand the contracts that exist in your mind? Consider it a straw poll. I don't think it's something that'll shake. It won't be earth shattering.
I think there'd be a good and bad of you know, one of each. For sure, having an extra player, it would be probably beneficial to teams because, you know, we don't have that many players. If you look at NFL, you know, they have I think they have close to 10 or so more players than we do. So, I mean, it'd definitely be beneficial, but do we have what it takes? Do we have enough talent, I guess? Maybe we do, maybe we don't, but, I mean, so that's just one thing. And maybe, you know, yeah, for sure, having new contracts, you know, would definitely be a plus, you know, for all the guys in the league right now. You know, I'm not sure – how they would do it, you know. If, you know, I've heard, like you said, a couple of school of thoughts on that. If they were to go with a bonus, or if they would go with the same percentage of the salary cap, or whatever. But you know, I think both has you know, is advantages and disadvantages. But definitely, I think the best one of those would be adding an extra roster spot for sure. You know, it's one more job for guys, you know, so gives guys another shot, gives them a chance to grow as players and as people.
Yeah, I was just because, you know, I have to look at it, and this, you know, you're just a guy with a decision that making a decision that isn't earth shattering. It isn't something that speaks to, doesn't tell any secrets. At the end of the day, from your perspective, you know, you seem to be a little bit more in favor of an extra player. That may speak to the fact that you're a young player. But at the end of the day, I think it's important that they make this agreement appear sooner rather than later. Us CFL fans, we're not accustomed to this fighting over, and I'm exaggerating maybe, and I'm not saying it to be inflammatory. You know, we're not accustomed to these kinds of discussions because the CFL, for all its, you know, troubles that it's had in the past, the best thing they've had is a group of young men, Canadian men, along with American men, that have been very giving to their community. So, you know, it's not one of those things where they're disconnected from the fans as much as maybe some other leagues are. That makes it a lot easier for you guys to be, you know, more reasonable, I think. But that's just my opinion.
No, absolutely. So I think every team – sorry?
No, go ahead.
No, I think every team has a great you know, outreach to community programs. You know, and I think that's a great thing about this league, like you were just saying. We actually just got done with a Together at School program with the CN Rail, actually CN. You know, we're going to be going through schools and, you know, talking to children and high schoolers about, you know, perseverance and you know, staying at school and all that stuff. So I think that's a great thing. I mean, I've been used to doing that for years, you know, even when I was in college. So I mean, that's one of the aspects I love about this league. So definitely.
Now, also as a player, you've had a good opportunity to go in the U.S. You've had a chance to meet American players now, you know, I guess for the first time since you left the U.S. And you've seen how they were being trained there. How skilled are they now when you come up here to see them, the ones that are skilled and experienced, these receivers we were talking about like Stala, running backs like Cornish. It has to be pretty amazing for you, no?
Oh, for sure. And, you know, like you just said, playing with, like, a Heisman Trophy, like Troy Smith and a bunch of guys, you know, like Kyrie Seybert played in the NFL for a couple of years. And a bunch of guys, you know, there's a bunch of guys that have been in the NFL, right? So there's a bunch of these guys that, you know, have played for very good teams and stuff like that. And that I probably could never have played at back, you know, when I was that age at 17 years old and my time to go into the NCAA. But, you know, being up here, we're, you know, at some point we're all equal, right? We're all playing for the same league and we're all trying to, you know, get our spots and you know, make a name for ourselves in this league. But, you know, they're great athletes, you know, and it's not only being an athlete, right? I think you guys are going to agree with me on this that, you know, it does take, you know, strength and speed and explosion, but it also takes a bit, you know, a good head, right? Because you need to work so hard and you have so many obstacles, you know, to get over to get to that point where, you know, you can actually make it to the league, you know, and once you're there, it's staying there as long as you can too, because, I mean, that can be taken from you, like I said, in the day, so.
And I couldn't agree with you more. As a Canadian, you know, what I find amazing, and I'm sure the guys do as well, you know, you're not the only one who isn't suited to the game that is played down south, the NFL, for whatever reason. You know, we're not talking about talent, we're talking about other things, but regardless of that, it's also an opportunity, and I bet you you've seen a lot of great American football players that you've seen in college who also maybe never would have seen the light of day of the NFL and should be grateful that the CFL exists because it speaks to a different physical makeup, you know. It really is a sport. The CFL is more conducive to the smaller players. That doesn't mean there's a lot of smaller players. There really is an opportunity for talented players who may not even get a look in the NFL in the CFL, correct?
Absolutely. I think one great player that we've seen in the past, Doug Flutie, right? He's a guy who's been, you know, he came up here and had a great career. So
a wonderful career. Now, tell us about now, in your mind, before you made the CFL, you said you watched a few games. What players do you remember from your being a viewer of the game as opposed to a participant?
You
were younger.
Can you repeat that? I didn't get that.
Oh, it's okay. When you were younger, you said you went to some games. Who were the players that you enjoyed more than any other when you went to the games? What players do you remember from your days?
For sure. Mike Pringle, Tracy M, and Anthony Calvillo were all guys I used to really be excited to come watch every time. So those really the guys I really idolized back in the days.
Now you mentioned earlier about a certain quarterback that won a Heisman Trophy. What was that like watching the experience of this guy coming to the team partway through the season, and in short order became the starting quarterback? Tell us some of your insights and what you saw that you found amazing that this guy could do it so quickly.
Well, I think, first of all, this guy's just a freak athlete, honestly. he's got a cannon for an arm, and you know, on top of that, he's like probably one of, like I said, kind of like Anthony Calvillo, just the humblest guy. You know, this guy won a Heisman Trophy, and he's up here, you know, joking around with the rookies and having a blast and stuff like that, and he just fit in right away with the team. And you know, I think it's also an aspect of trust. You know, I think guys, you know, when they were playing with him, they felt, I guess, empowered, you know, by the fact they were playing with a Heisman Trophy winner. You know, so I think I think all of that put in together, you know, had, you know, just matched well. You know, all the guys, you know, trust him, and you know, they went in the game more confident.
We have another listener on the air with us. Who is it?
This is BJ.
BJ, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. How are you?
Awesome, wow. Awesome. Did you have a question?
I just phoned in. Mike told me to phone in, so I phoned in.
Mike, you want to explain or what? Mike?
I don't know if Mike's still here.
Yeah, I'm still here. I had my mute button pressed. Hey,
BJ's
here. BJ, we talking to Nicholas Boulle, man, of the Montreal Isle of West right now. He's one of our guests on the show.
What's going on, Nicholas?
Hey, nice to see you. How you doing, BJ?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Yourself?
Very good, very good.
Now, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, every time we have somebody on here, somebody new, BJ, tell us about yourself.
Well, you know, I played up in Canada. I played in Toronto in 2011, re-signed, you know, to 12 and got injured, and now I'm back home, man. I'm basically, you know, I have my own academy here down in Florida. I'm running that and just recently signed in the new league, the GIFL, that's going to be in Canada, the Arena Football League. They're starting up there, and I'm pretty excited about that, pretty excited to get back in Toronto and just living life, man, you know.
And you're going to be a coach up here?
Player and coach.
Player and coach?
Mm-hmm.
Now, will you be, Nicholas, what we do here as well is we talk about indoor football. Now, I'm not sure, because none of your history that I recall, what do you know, Nicholas, about indoor football? And have you ever experienced it?
I have never experienced it, no. What do I know about it? I mean, I've watched games on TV about it, you know. That's pretty much all I know about it. I mean, rules are similar, you know, it's a little different, you know, having a smaller field and stuff. You know, so other than that, nothing much.
Now, BJ, explain to us and Nicholas, you know, what are the advantages? Now, as a former CFL player, what are the advantages of playing GIFL or indoor football of any other kind?
Well, myself, I was, you know, able to learn my first couple of years behind, you know, great quarterbacks, man. Aaron Garcia, Brett Deese, Shane Stafford, man, and you know, the thing that they taught me was to get the ball out quick, you know, make quick decisions and throw the spots. And you know, the good thing about it, when you play outside, when you come from the AFL, it's so much quicker in the AFL. Once you get to outdoor, it becomes a little bit slower, believe it or not. They say that's a big reason why Kurt Warner came into the league and had a great year, well, a great career, basically. And you know, that's pretty much it, man. It's a big advantage playing in the AFL or, you know, the indoor league or whatever.
Now, Nicholas, you also, you know, played in the States, and four downs was something that you played. The fabric of indoor football is a little bit different. And, BJ, explain to us the difference. It almost, as many people suggested, it's a lot more like the CFL because of motion and all that stuff. And Nicholas is a linebacker for the Alouettes. And he's going to be in his second year this year. He was drafted last year, had his rookie year, and he has all the stats that a guy could need, and he has the ability and speed and strength, and love, and he has that passion for hitting players, which I don't understand where that comes from, that people could actually enjoy hitting other people in a game. I don't understand how that arrives.
I'm all over that. What are you talking about? I'm all over
absolutely. Body bag.
What are the hits like in indoor football?
It's like a car wreck. To be perfectly honest, it's very intense, man. I was talking with a guy the other day who plays, man, and when you're done with the season, you know, in arena football, you just can't wait to take at least just rest your body and do nothing because it's, you know, it's so compact. You're getting hit against, you know, 350, you know, pound guys that, you know, are moving at a fast pace, man. And it's like none other. Even a game, man, when you're done with a game, you're trying to go get in an ice tub and rest and relax because it hurts. And then the turf is just, it's ridiculous, man. This turf is like concrete kind of. You fall on that turf, your skin is gone, and it's tough, man. It's tough, but it's a fun game.
I got bad news for you, BJ. It is concrete underneath the carpet.
Well, yeah, you're right. Well the arena actually, no, it isn't, depending on where you play.
Okay.
Tampa Bay Storm Stadium is ice.
Okay.
It's either ice or concrete.
Yeah, which I don't think the two are much different, are they?
I would
not
think not. No.
Go ahead,
Mike. I'd like to make a comment. I was just saying I'd like to make a comment on them hits also. See, BJ, what they fail to realize if they haven't seen arena games, them linebackers be coming at full speed. I mean, it's a fast-paced game, so when them linebackers coming, they are coming. So if you don't get that ball out, man, you're gonna get popped.
Well, that's why
top of hit that concrete ground or that ice ground.
Mm-hmm.
Or
of course you get leveled against that wall.
I think it's the wall. It's the boards.
Yes.
It's everything. It's the walls
with attitude.
Well, it's the walls and also the seats as well, getting hit over the wall.
Well, that's why I mentioned to Nicholas that he would like the indoor game because you get to hit a little harder. You don't have to run as far to nail anybody.
Man, if Nick is a hitter, he would love arena football because he could hit people over the freaking wall and into the wall. He would have a blast.
Yep.
Well, we never know. Maybe I'll have to hit that up one day.
Well, you can check it out at least. You know, just check it out.
Nick, watch the game. Stay where you're at, though, man.
Yeah, you're still in the CFL, man. You take care where we'll be going playing arena ball right now.
Right, absolutely. No, I'm enjoying the moment. Don't worry. I'll make every minute count.
Please do. Listen, if you'd like to cut away, it's fine. It's fine with me. I don't, like I said, don't mind having you on. I just don't want to keep you here longer than you can handle. I'm sure you have. But we have one more guy coming in. We'll give him a chance if he has a question. Another one of our regulars. This is an Ottawa Red Black fan. His name is Rob J. Emery. Rob, say hello to Nicholas Boulay and BJ Hall.
Hey guys, how are you?
Very good, and you?
Good, good, good. How are you enjoying the off season?
Oh, I mean, it's great. I definitely kind of like what BJ was saying earlier. I actually had to take a month off after our season too. You know, like you said, your body's so banged up, and you just need to take a rest. But we actually started officially training last week, so you know we went running for the first time today. So it's great though. It's great. You know, you get a lot of time off, and you get to work on small projects that you have. You know, and you get to do things you probably normally wouldn't have time to do. So no, but very enjoying. You know, I'm enjoying it very, very much.
That's good.
So is
That's
this
good.
Some? Is this something the team has put together for you, a schedule that the team has worked out for you, and a regimen that they've given you to complete?
Are you talking about training?
Yes, the training. Is it when you're training off season? How much input does the team have on your training?
I think they can help, but you know, there's a lot of guys, you know, that, you know, all these guys in this league have been training for years and years, and a lot of guys have trainers, and you know, they do their own thing. But there is things here in Montreal, you know, like that's arranged by the team. So that, you know, you can go and do if you want to, but like I said, that officially starts January 27th. So with the team. So until then, I'll be on my own side doing my own things. And I actually got a trainer here in Montreal. I've been training with for 3 years, Avengers Factory. So so I'll be working with him probably most of the off season.
What part of your training is your favorite? And what is your least favorite?
That is a great question. well, you know, the getting back into shape thing, where you gotta run your mind off until you puke. I'd say that's probably my least favorite. And my favorite part is probably. I'd probably say when we start getting close to the season, we just start getting into football shape. So I'd say that's probably my favorite part. You can feel football coming around, you know?
Yeah, in hockey, they call that a sack drill when you're about to throw up.
Right.
Where they make you run until until your dogs are so tired you're dragging your butt around the ice. BJ, how about you? What were your favorite parts of training and your least favorite?
I would have to agree with my boy Nicholas, man. The same thing. I mean, basically just, you know, all season of just, you know, continually running and running and running until, you know, you're about to pass out, and then basically seeing it, you know, progress once you get into the season, you know, seeing it all pay off during camp and everything.
Now, what about as a coach and a player? How difficult is it to be? It's kind of interesting that we have two football players, one in transition into the coaching ranks. How about training for your players? What do you expect, and how do you make sure the players are prepared, as you suggest you were, and they should be?
I think it's just a lot of mental preparation. With my guys, you know, I coach high school as well. You know, a lot of coaches, they have different, you know, philosophies on things, but my mindset is, you know, teaching the mental aspect of it first and then applying the physical of it. And that's the same thing I think I would bring to the GIFL. You know, I'll be, you know, the quarterback, but as well I'll be the, you know, offensive coordinator. And basically, man, you know, just making sure everyone is on the same page mentally. That comes with a lot of film study, a lot of preparation, you know, in meetings and things of that sort. But, you know, hold on.
Are your playbooks, compare for us, how complicated are the playbooks in relation to CFL playbooks in the GIFL?
Well, I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure what I'm going to bring to our team. I played with numerous of teams. So I played with Tim Markham. He just passed away. But, you know, his playbook was a simple playbook, but it was effective. I played under Shane Stafford, who was an AFL legend, who was a quarterback. His playbook was more complicated, but it's, you got to think, there's only eight guys on the field, so it's not going to be as much preparation that you're going to need within the NFL or the CFL, which I've seen both. So, it won't be as much preparation, but at the same time, it's still pro football. So you're going to have to put in the work. You're going to have to sit down. You're going to have to study. And if you want to be great, you know, those things, you've got to put a lot of time in.
Well, there's not enough room. There's not enough room for – I guess it's kind of ironic, isn't it? There's not enough room for – some would suggest for the offense. But really, there's not enough room for the offense and the defense, because – you make a one-yard mistake in GIFL football, it's a lot more than a five-yard mistake on a field in the CFL or in the NFL, isn't it? Like, everything's so much finer. There's a fine line, isn't there?
Exactly. That's why you got to score a lot of points.
Make that line wider?
You have to be more detailed, man, in arena football, indoor football. That's why I think it's just a great idea to bring it to Canada, man. I mean, you have the CFL, man, but this game here, it's electric, man, and it's so detailed that the fans, they're going to be in it. The fans are going to love it because it's like they're in the game. You're going to be so close to that game and seeing what's going on. You're going to be you can actually talk to the players, man. You're going to be that close. And, you know, every fan that I've came across, man, they just enjoy it and love it, man. And I think, you know, bringing it to Mississauga, bringing it to Toronto, I think, you know, the CFL, it's awesome, but the GIFL is going to be great as well.
I bet it will. Now, this year is a year when, you know, we're watching in football where in the NFL where there's concerns with health concerns, and not to raise the issue too deeply, but BJ, what kind of safety factors are there for the players? Is that a concern, and is that something that's taken care of, and how is it taken care of in GIFL and in indoor football?
Well, from my experience, playing arena football and playing, you know, outdoor football, I think the NFL and I think the CFL have it good because there's not a lot of penalties called on hits in indoor football and arena football. When you get smashed, man. You get hit hard, and that's just it. You better get up or you're going to get out the game. I mean, that's just basically what it is. It's a lot more intense because it's so compact. And a lot of it's so compact and it's so fast, a lot of times the ref don't get to see everything. So it's a big difference, man.
So if you like a physical game, it's very physical then?
Very physical. Very fast, very physical.
Nicholas, in the CFL, I'm not going to say on the other hand, but in a different way, they're paying a lot more attention to these kinds of, you know, headshots and such, and the type of hits that you know that affect a person's long-term career aspirations. You also mentioned at the beginning of the program that you know it's good that you get a better salary because you never know, you never know something could happen even innocently. It doesn't have to be a dirty hit. An innocent hit can end a guy's life in the game. That is, and that's got to be kind of. I admire you for. I know you're not scared, and I know it doesn't scare you. But how can you prepare yourself, and what can you do when you're hitting a player to make sure that you know it doesn't happen in a bad way for you?
Well, honestly, you try as much as sometimes you know if you hit with your head, you're going to hurt yourself. You can hurt yourself too, right? You can hurt your neck and all that stuff.
Yep.
But sometimes, I mean, honestly, it just happens so fast, right? You're just running and, you know, he spins and you just hit him by mistake. You try to avoid those for sure. But sometimes, like I said, it just happens so fast you can't do anything about it. And, you know, a lot of these hits that, you know, some of the guys get penalized for, you know, they probably didn't mean to do it. It just kind of like it happens and, in the heat of the game.
It's also interpretation. You're 100% right. You know, you have a person that believes what you're saying 100%. We've seen hits where, and this is why I'm raising this issue as a defender. It has to be tough because when you leave your feet or you know you've already got momentum going in a direction. And we saw this year. We saw defenders get suspended because an offensive player lowered or raised his body enough that the hit ended up being something that could be determined as illegal. People don't understand how hard it is to play this game and how much, you know, I'm not going to say isn't in the player's control, but how much there is that isn't in their control, really. You know, how little, but still some, right, that is beyond your control. You can only go for the clean hit and hope that what you're hitting is what you think you're going to be hitting and it doesn't move, right, or change, you know, plane, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think you said it perfectly. I mean, you know, one guy's running one way as fast as he can. You're trying to run, you know, catch him up the other way or whatever. He doesn't see you coming. Sometimes, you know, the speed of the game, you just, you know, you can't avoid it. It just kind of happens. so to speak. So, yeah, absolutely.
BJ, and what you said, if I can understand and summarize what you were saying, it's so quick and there's so little room, you know, it's just basically, I don't want to use this term, but I'm going to use it anyway. It's like a, I don't know, you know, a ditch fight, if you know what I'm saying.
Like a ditch fight?
Yeah, you know, like basically, you know, you have very little room to maneuver. So, you know, it's difficult. It's so quick. You know, we have a game up here, which I expect you don't know, which is one of the games that I cover on Wednesdays. We do a show here about the National Lacrosse League. Lacrosse has the same kind of difference, right? It has a different kind of feel than hockey, even though it looks like it might be a lot like hockey. The hitting is a lot harder, and it seems a lot more vicious, but people don't realize it may not be, you know? There's some hits that look worse. The fans think are really well. For example, I'm sure a couple of times in your game you've seen a hit that's drawn the attention of the crowd, and yet there's been bigger hits that they didn't notice. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, some of the dirtiest hits are ones that fans don't even realize are dirty, because I'm sure you guys are pretty sneaky from time to time. And as a quarterback, I'm sure you run into the odd sneak now and then.
Every now, I'm more so on the avoid side of things, man. I'm always trying to avoid hits, then.
Exactly.
A couple times I've tried to, you know, some lead blocks. I've tried to take my shot, but, you know, not too much.
Well, okay. Okay, guys, at this point, we're about two-thirds of the way through the show, and I'm going to open it up to you guys. I'm going to go drink a bottle of wine. And when I come back, there better be a good show. I'm just kidding. Well, we'll start with Christopher. Christopher, either of these gentlemen, you have a question for them as long as they can stay?
No, I'm good. Just taking it all in, catching some C's.
Oh, okay. I'm glad to see you're that excited. Bruce, John Inch, how about you?
I'm taking it all in also. This is one of the best shows, man. You got me hypnotized. These two guys on news. They know what they're talking about, and it's awesome because you got, like you said, you got a coach that used to be a player, and you got a CFL player that's actually playing the game right now. Doesn't get any better than that.
Well thank
get
you.
Any better.
I appreciate that.
Let me put it on note. This is BJ. Hold on. I'm a free agent. I'm still ready to play.
Red
I'm not done yet. I'm a free agent.
Red Black.
There you go.
That's
what it says on the CFL webpage, that BJ Hall is an import and a free agent.
Yes, sir.
Well, come over to the black and gold, buddy, because, you know, we can always use your positive attitude you got. That's awesome.
Red and black.
Red
and
black.
Oh, boy. Roger, you had to say
something.
Now, listen, should I ask Mike to ask a question? Because I have a feeling that we might be able to kill a half hour now that, you know, Mike, it's your turn.
Hey, first of all, I want to say congratulations, BJ, for signing with the GIFL, man.
I appreciate it, Mike. Thank you.
Yeah, man, I'm glad Canada's finally getting some of this indoor football that's well deserved. And Frank, Bruce, if y'all want to Google some of these hits, all you have to do is go to YouTube and Google indoor football or arena football hardest hits, and you can see what the hits are like. Guys flying over the wall, 3 or 4 feet over in the stands, guys getting hit against the dashboards, guys
Wait
getting
a second.
Laid out.
Whoa. Hold on a second. Are you suggesting that because I'm a football fan that I might like hits?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, man. Just like Rock'em Sock'em, we got our hits.
Man, I want to go back to what BJ was saying as far as the crowd being into the game. You are so close. When you are in the nosebleeds, you're still closer to the game.
Well, I'm looking forward to going to a game because I was watching it on TV because we got a former Ticat, Priscy Rodriguez. He used to play for us, and he's in the arena football now. But it is, man. That's a hard-hitting, flipping game, buddy. I give you all credit there.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. He can't wait to get back in the Canadian League, man. He Yeah, you can ask. He doesn't want to play a ring football.
He was one of my favorite guys, man, when he played for us, man. Such a great personality, too, on that brother. Really
hey,
nice guy.
Hey, BJ.
Yeah.
Did you hear that Adrian McPherson just signed with the Stampeders?
Yeah, I'm a good friend. I'm a good friend of Adrian. I knew that.
Excellent.
They asked him to come onto the show because I'm dying to talk to him because he hits the nail on the head because in because of my association with Mike Townsend, he has tried valiantly to raise the level of the perspective that we have on indoor football as Mike, right, Mike?
Yes, sir.
It would be great to have Adrian on. If you could hook us up with Adrian, that'd be great. Because of all we've talked about how it is beneficial to play in the GIFL or any other indoor football league. It gives you a different level of experience and understanding of the game that is very useful in the CFL, right?
Right. Man, I honestly think, man, it'd be good for Canada, man. I mean, the Americans, in America we have the AFL and we have the NFL. There's no reason why, the GFL shouldn't be the America's AFL. I mean, I think it'd be great for the fans.
Now,
the difference from, last time when the Phantoms were in Canada, the AFL didn't really, they came out quick with the league. A lot of Canadians didn't know nothing about indoor football or arena football, so they didn't take to it. Different era, different time, different league, it's going to fly.
Well, right now, there's no doubt that thanks to the CFL and the CFL fans, the CFL, football's gained some popularity and really, there may be a group of people that can support indoor football. I don't have any reason to suggest that they won't. So, there you go. The opportunities are here to expand football, and I don't think it'll hurt to have indoor football here. Hopefully, it'll be managed in a way that gives the league and the players a chance to show what they can do and not have too many teams that are and BJ, I know you as an old as a veteran guy, you're only in your 30s, so you're not an old man yet. But
I'm not 30 yet, man. Don't put that 30 tag on me yet. Don't you do that. I'm 28, man.
Okay. I'm sorry. I truly apologize. My math strengths, obviously, you just figured out how my math works. Not well.
Right.
The fact remains, though, at the end of the day, you have a wee bit of experience. You have a little more than our friend Nicholas. And, the game itself, the CFL, has improved, since you've been here and even year to year. So, the game of football is doing well in Canada. And why do you think Canadians, I think you've mentioned a little bit about it, but will the fact that the CFL and the indoor football have a lot of similarities, you think it'll be easy for Canadians to appreciate?
I really do, man. I think it will also give the Canadians that get invited to the CFL camps, the ones that get cut, they'll have somewhere to go to play. And it's similar because you have the motion. That's the big thing about it. When you got the guys going to motion at full speed, it's similar to the same thing on offense with the Canadian game. And it won't be far. That's the only thing is just inside. But the thing that's going to be good about it is you can use it as a developmental league. So the Canadian scouts don't really have to go far. But if you mix in some great talent from the Americans and some good talent from the Canadians, the scouts, they can just basically stay home. We got talent up here.
I hear
you. Club from the NFL, the CFL, and now you don't have to, I think it's a good idea. I have a lot of ideas and opinions about it, and it'll take hours to talk about, but I just think it's a great idea, man.
Well, this show's on twice a week, a couple hours each show, so we got lots of time to talk about a lot of things. Right now, I'd like to ask Nicholas, because you will understand, Nicholas understands as much as anybody the importance of being able to play near home. What BJ says makes a lot of sense. It is let's be honest, it's far more attractive for a young man like you to be able to play near home than it would be to go somewhere else. Economically, to say the least, you know, emotionally with the support that you get, a bonus. Is that fair to say on my part? And isn't that one of the assets the CFL has? It has become more of what BJ is talking about, which is a league that promotes local players into local teams.
No, for sure, absolutely, and I've actually been asked the question if I were to get a shot in the NFL and stuff like that, but, you know, be on the practice roster versus, you know, being up here and being a starter, what would you do? And any day I would stay up here. You know, I just, you know, I love being up here. I love this country, and I love being able to play in front of Canadian fans, and, you know, I love the game the way it's played up here. So I mean, I think like he said, it's a great opportunity for people to keep doing what they love, you know, even after you know your CFL career is over.
And that speaks to BJ. That speaks to your point that it'll be a lot easier, you know. And to be crude, I'm going to be crude at this point, where the cost of being a player is less because you get to stay near home. There's nothing that's more expensive for a player than to reroot, you know, uproot himself and go somewhere and start, you know, living when he's not making $1 million a year.
Right. That's the toughest part of it. You're leaving family, you're leaving friends, and it's extremely tough. But at the same time, if, you know, if you want to, if you love the game, you're going to do what you got to do to make it happen.
What is Rob doing?
Huh?
What is Rob doing?
That's not Rob.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Nope.
Mike.
Yeah,
that's not me. Yes, sir.
Mike. I asked a question of Nicholas. Did you notice his answer? Did it sound familiar to you in any way?
Yeah. He said he would rather stay home.
Rub it in. Go ahead. Rub it in. Repeat your answer that you would have given. Nicholas, this is the answer we hear every week. Every week, Mike maintains that there are players who are playing in the NFL who, for a little bit less money or whatever they feel comfortable, would leave the NFL. And I'm talking about American players. I'm not talking about Canadian players. I'm talking about American players who would prefer to be off the practice roster and be a starter, or at least be able to believe that they can be a starter for a little less money. We've heard this conversation, and I think we all agree with it, Nicholas. And Mike?
Yes, sir.
Mike has mentioned this. He only mentions it maybe once or twice a show.
Yeah, I always say there's a lot of players in the NFL, especially you got your third string and backup quarterbacks, that will come to Canada and play for a little less money to show their skills and to prove that they can play the game instead of sitting on the bench and not doing nothing. And I wholeheartedly believe that. Cause I know
I also, Nicholas and BJ, there's a lot to be said for playing. It is hard to improve your skills without reps, obviously. But even more importantly, there's a lot more to be learned on the field when the clock is running than before or after the clock stops or starts. First you, Nicholas.
No, for sure. I mean, what kind of comes to mind when you say that is, you know, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse, right? If you're not on the field, you know, making plays, you know, somebody's progressing somewhere, getting better than you, and you're sitting there on a bench waiting and trying to get your shot, you know. So you got to do extra. You got to, you know, try to make it work as much as you can. So I mean, you know, as much as you stay on the side, then you know people start forgetting about you, and then you probably won't ever get your shot. So I think, like you said, a lot of people do come up here sometimes for a little less money. They make a name for themselves, and then, you know, then they get a shot in the NFL, a shot that they probably wouldn't have gotten if they had never done that before, you know? So, for sure.
Yeah, and even if they don't go to the NFL, you know, you become Ricky Ray. You know, there's a lot of players who came here
exactly.
Who may have been thinking that, But because of circumstances and because there are a couple of good paydays here, yes, it's true, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. There, you know, there aren't a lot of big pays here in the Canadian Football League, but a lot of the players, if not most, will earn more playing football than they might somewhere else. So there's no need to be sad about coming to the CFL. Yes, you're not making, there's two quarterbacks that are going to be battling in the Eastern Conference Final in the NFL. I won't even mention their names because if you don't know who I'm talking about, you've been asleep or you died about 15 years ago. And you guys know who I'm talking about. Those two guys, their salaries put together could probably buy the CFL maybe three times.
Yep.
Which is kind of sad, really, when you think about it. So BJ, what's your opinion on sitting on the, you know, on the sidelines and not getting to play? In your opinion, you said yourself you'd love to come to the CFL. You're still looking for a job as a quarterback. There's a new team, Ottawa. So, you know, in my opinion, that means there's three new jobs in the CFL, by my guesstimation. Three serious jobs. A guy like you wouldn't be a fourth or fifth quarterback. So, at the very least, and slap me in the face when you see me, at the very least, you know, second or third is about as deep as you want to be. So there's another three jobs. Is that something that you're working on right now?
Yes, I am extremely, man. I worked out for Ottawa about 2 months ago, and it went really well. I was told that, I would be in consideration of being brought up, but, I'm kind of just waiting to hear back and training hard here. See what happens, but at the same time, I'm working stuff out with the GIFL, man. And the thing is, I want to play, and I want to go where there's a great opportunity. I see, great things that come out of the GIFL. I know it's a small league and it's the indoor league, but I just think that the future of it can be big, and I just want to be a part of the growth, even after I'm done playing football.
There's no deadline for you, right? There's no deadline. You don't have to join the GIFL today. You don't have to join it tomorrow. You can join it any time. And I don't think the people at GIFL, and we've talked to the owner of the league, I don't think he's insulted by the fact that, and no one should be. I've always maintained that a league that can produce a player that goes on to a bigger league is a good thing, not a bad thing. We firmly believe that. Most of the guys here in this room with me believe that it's not bad if the CFL produces a guy that goes to the NFL. It's a good thing. It creates, a better respect for the CFL, in my opinion. That's my opinion. But I know there's some people who don't like it. But in my opinion, anywhere that you can become better is a great league. As Nicholas said, it's not about taking a step back. You play in the CFL, you become a starter, you become a better player. And there's players who have opted not to go to the NFL or come back from the NFL because, they prefer the lifestyle here in Canada in some cities that they know. And there's quite a few players that could be mentioned. One of them just won a Grey Cup in Saskatchewan. Now, there's a lot of talent in Canada right now that could play in the NFL. And some of that talent doesn't want to play in the NFL. So there's nothing wrong with that. So,
people in it for the wrong reasons, man. I think you get guys that stay in the NFL, in the practice roster and stuff, are just in it to say they're in the NFL. You get guys that actually really want to play, they make that move to the CFL, and they make it soon.
Yeah, well,
there you
know,
go. So, BJ, that's my point. Sorry, Frank, that's my point.
No, go ahead.
You'd rather play instead of just sitting in the practice squad, not showing your skills and getting out there playing. You'd rather come somewhere where you can show your skills and play. That's mm-hmm. one thing I like about some of the guys that's going to be coming to the CFL, because you're going to have a lot of NFL free agents, man, that's going to be making that jump, especially with this new CBA coming up.
I'd like to add and I agree 100% with what was said. I happen to think also from listening to football players, there's also a character thing that comes to mind when you've got a player who says, I don't want to be on a practice roster because, and the real reason is, they want to show they have control of their situation. They're not a passenger. While a guy that's willing to stay on the practice squad, what's he waiting for? He's waiting for somebody else to go down. It's not about what he does. It's about what happens. So his life isn't in his control when he's on the practice roster. I can't imagine what it's like to be on the practice roster, because it has to be tough, guys, for you guys to even to contemplate. Because that's all you're doing. You're just hoping that something goes wrong somewhere else that gives you an opportunity. And it's not because of you. You're just, just looking for a freak accident. It just doesn't seem like you have much control that way.
I mean, yeah, if I can say something to that, I mean, I agree with you. Sometimes, you meet a bunch of guys. I mean, a great example would probably be in the NFL right now would be Andy Woodhead, right? He was a guy, if I'm correct, came out of Division III college and, didn't really get a shot. And when he did get his shot, he made the most of it. So, I mean, not bashing the guys on practice roster, because a lot of guys there, it's tough. It's tough on yourself also, when you know you're a good player and you can make it happen, and, you're probably better than the guy in front of you, but, because of politics or for X reason, you have to sit back and wait for your shot. So, I mean, but, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's kind of the NFL. If I can put it this way, you're kind of a number, right? If you get hurt, then somebody else will step in and do a job. I mean, they have so many great players in that league that, they can afford to do that. So.
Yeah. I apologize to anybody who likes being on a practice roster, because I just realized what I said sounded like. That my intention is not to put down somebody on the practice roster. It just essentially that you have to be satisfied with the fact that you're waiting for your chance. Some people just don't have the patience to wait for their chance. They want to do something to make their chance appear, as opposed to wait for it to appear on its own. I hope that's the way. Anyway, I don't like the idea. I'm not very good with waiting for something to happen that isn't in my control. It's difficult, and that's a problem I have. But, when you're competitive, I think that's one of the things that drives you, is that you want to show what you can do. And every day that you can't show what you can do, it kind of eats at you a little bit, I think. But then I'm just talking about me from my perspective. So I'm not necessarily 100% right. I just know that there's some guys like me that just need to take, they want to be the reason why they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to clarify that.
And I agree. That's why I'm glad, me personally, by being in the States, that's why I'm glad to see a lot of indoor leagues are forming. Some are bigger than others, but these guys get to play and show their skills instead of just sitting around not doing nothing. That's why I love the indoor league. I mean, I've been a fan since I was 13, 14 years old of DK Drive. I mean, season tickets. So I've been around it a long time.
Okay, we're down to the last 15 minutes of the show, and we haven't had any commercials. And the reason we haven't had any commercials is because we had two really interesting guests. And, guys, I really appreciate you guys coming on. With us is former Argonaut quarterback B.J. Hall, who is planning on joining us here in Ontario in the GIFL as a quarterback and coach. And also we have first-year Montreal Alouette number 52. And he is Nicolas Boulay, and he is one of my favorite people, because we had some interesting conversations where I was hoping to see him when he was here in Toronto, but I couldn't find him. I missed you in Toronto, Nicolas, when you were here.
He's kind of hard to miss.
Yeah. Yeah, well, time goes by. We come in and we do our thing, and next thing you know, it's game time, and we're back on the plane for the next game, right? So I forgive you.
Well, okay, good, because I waited in the parking lot.
Oh, is that right?
No, I didn't. I'm just kidding. I was too busy cheering for the Argos to give you the time of day you deserved. Well, next year we'll have to do it, because the big gag we had was I was going to sit with his parents, because his parents are going to – did your parents come this year?
To Toronto, they did not, no.
Oh, okay.
Nope.
But they got to come next year and sit in the – because our group sits right beside where your parents are going to sit in the visitors, behind your bench. If you turn around and you look at – yeah.
Oh, you can probably see him twice if you get to see Winnipeg play there also.
Oh, you have – that's right. You have a you guys, your parents have produced football players, haven't they? Tell us about your brother.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, the brother plays for Winnipeg. So,
well, maybe we should get him on next week because we got some interesting
questions
for
sure.
For Winnipeg. We got interesting questions for Winnipeg. They stole our special teams guy here in Toronto.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, their new coach was our special teams guy, who BJ might know.
Well, that sounds good. Maybe they can get you. I can get you guys in touch for next week.
Be great. Would be awesome. We would love to talk to him. Is he old? He's older than you, though, right?
Yeah, he is. Yep, he's about a year and a half older than me.
Who's that?
And a little bit bigger.
Who is that?
It's Matthew, isn't it? Matt, I'm trying to remember.
Yes, Matthew Boulay.
It is Matthew, right? It's Matt, right? Yeah.
Matthew
I'm trying to remember.
Yep.
Every time I hear that Boulay last name, I think of Etienne.
Yeah, that's a different one.
Yeah.
But yeah, right. We don't have any family connections at all, Etienne and I. But Matthew and I are brothers.
Yeah, we'll have to have him on. We'd love to have him on. We'd love to talk to Winnipeg. I have a lot of Winnipeg friends on Facebook, but I don't have any Winnipeg football fans. But I happen to think, and this is just me thinking right now, that if the team plays a little better, the fans will show up or admit they're fans. How do you like, guys, both of you, I'd like to ask you this question. How tough is it when the team's not playing well and the fans have abandoned you? What do you do? And I'll start with you, BJ. What do you do to keep your head up? And, because the media can be pretty mean, and they can be pretty stupid, too, because they ask the dumbest questions sometimes. And I think they ask the dumbest questions when you're losing. How do you deal with that?
Yes, you do, Frank.
Thank you. I'm glad we agree.
I think you just got to understand what the task is at hand, man. I mean, you got to – a thing I like to say is, keep tunnel vision. Understand why you're there, what you're trying to do, what type of goals you're trying to accomplish with your team, and do that. It's going to be scrutiny. It's going to be, you're going to get the boos and you're going to get the ahs. And you have to realize, what are you there for? You're there to do your job. So you can't really worry about the outside of it because they're not the ones that go to camp. They're not the ones that, are sweating and bleeding and tearing up, at the games when you're winning and losing. It's your teammates that you have to worry about. So I think, to an extent, you listen, you sit back and you hear, but at the same time, you're not really dwelling in on what people say outside of your home, your group, your family, which is the football team.
A football team is far more insulated than a lot of other sports. It is the least... and I hope I'm not insulting anybody. It is the least individual sport there is.
Yeah, I agree. I agree from my experience, yes.
Monsieur Boulay, how do you handle,
yes,
being at Sherbrooke, and I went on YouTube, and it seemed like every time I saw a Sherbrooke game, it was always against Laval. Is that a special rivalry?
In the 2 years that I was in Sherbrooke, we actually lost to them in the Dunsmore Cup twice. So I think honestly I'm kind of sad to say this, but Sherbrooke has never beaten Laval yet. So. It's we've come close, but close is never good enough. You got to win, and they need to seal the deal, and they're going to need to be doing that in years to come. But it's always been like a really tough for us, and never getting to do that. So it's definitely a big rivalry for us. Absolutely.
Yeah, you're up for them. And how about your the question as far as, how do you deal with the adversity that comes along with not winning, and how do you overcome it in your mind and as an individual and as a team?
I mean, like BJ said, it's tough. It's tough on the team. But, it's tough on the fans, but it's even tough on the team, right? They're the guys that need to stick together, and they need to make it happen. A lot of times, we start pointing fingers. We need to be pointing at us. So You know, they say when you're pointing the finger at somebody, you get three more fingers pointing your way, right?
There you go.
So, I mean, I think you know, we're the ones to make it happen, and they need to make it happen, and, you know, everything else will take care of itself. So.
Well, we're winding down to the last few minutes, and it's been an interesting evening. Again, we're with BJ Hall and my buddy, who Monsieur Boulay. My daughter saw his picture on the TV because I can put my computer on the TV, and they said, "So, Dad, is he single?" So you know, my 23-year-old said, "Dad, how old is he?" And I told her, and she, "Oh, he's only a year older than me," and she said, "Huh? What?" Oh, this is my wife. We're trying to marry off our four daughters. I bought four ladders at Home Depot. So, you know, no, just kidding. My daughter was impressed with the fact that you're a young guy playing on a team, and she is a big fan of certain athletes, but she's also, you know, a hard worker. So she was just having fun with her dad. She was just teasing the crap out of me because I said, "God, he's good looking, isn't he?" And now I'm looking at a picture of BJ Hall, and I'm saying to myself, the guys in this room have a lot to be ashamed of, including me. You're two good-looking guys. What's it like? I really have to ask. You know, this is the fun part of the, you know, and regardless of whether you're married or not, and, you know, I'm not asking for any admissions, you know, just what's it like, and I'll start with you, BJ, what's it like being such a good-looking football player? I mean, how hard do you have to beat the women off you?
Repeat that again, how hard what?
I said beat the women off you.
Okay.
Well, there are a few extra words in there.
Right, so my wife is sitting
crap.
Right on the side of me.
Okay. Well, in that case, we'll move over to the single guy. I'm assuming he's single. Monsieur Boulay.
Actually, I'm not single. I'm not married yet, but I do have a girlfriend, and we've been living together for about 6 months now. So, yeah, but I don't know. I'm not a quarterback, and I'm guessing BJ knows a little bit more than I do.
There we go. I love the way football players throw each other under the bus. Hey, all kidding aside, the fact of the matter is, I want to get this out. Football players are human beings. And, you know, we tend to sometimes, and this is really the question I wanted to ask. Sometimes people assume a lot about you guys because you're football players. And because you're in the public eye, everybody only hears, is it not, like the CFL is a great league because the players get a chance to come down to earth and spend time in the community. But it has to be tough to be a star athlete because you're the guy that during the week they're raising up as high as people can, and then it seems like they've got a target on you to see how quickly you can shoot that down. How do you handle the enigma that is being an athlete? You know, people seem to either like it much or depend on or you know, associate you with some sort of spoiled athlete. BJ, how do you handle that stuff? Because I'm sure you've felt it from time to time.
I mean, with my experience, I think you just got to, you know, keep it real within yourself and then keep it real with people who you interact with. You know, I've always been told, you know, even when I was playing inside, you know, BJ's a down-to-earth person. He's a real person, and that's who I show. I don't try to be something that I'm not. I don't try to be more than, you know, than what God put me here to be.
Good for you.
You know, the stereotype of it is, you know, I think unfair because a lot of guys that I've met, you know, even, you know, starters that have been in the league for 9 years, man, they're not cocky. They're not the guy who you stereotype and say that they are, you know, per se from the media or, you know, just anybody, man. I mean, they're really genuine, downhearted people. But
isn't it, we only have about 30 seconds left because I want to make sure we get this out. It's sad, team in like in the NFL has 93 teams. There's 93 players or whatever. There's 43 players in the CFL that actually play. One guy does something wrong, and all the other 42 are in trouble. And all of a sudden, people think they're all like that. You know, that's why I started by saying, you guys are just a part of society. And society has problems, and people forget sometimes that even football players are people, and the percentages are the same with whatever you hear about. Thank you, gentlemen, for being on the show. We only got 5 seconds left. And Boulé and Hall, Montreal Alouette, former Toronto Argonaut, and, of course, the regular guys that were here, thanks for being on the program. You've been listening to Blog Talk Radio, and this show is Candid Frank Live, otherwise known as the CFL show. Thank you, everyone, for being on the program. I really appreciate it. And you guys were awesome. And I really admire
the fact... guys. Have a good one.
Are you too?
Old Reservoir.
All right, no problem, Mike. Thank you.
All right.
This part will only be heard on recording. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. It was fun. Yes, it was.